Birds in the sky, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. Rivers running free, you know how I feel. Blossoms on the trees, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonflies out in the sun, you know how I feel. Butterflies are having fun, you know how I feel. Sleep in peace when day is done, you know how I feel. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. And I'm feeling good. Play it, Ray. Hear a little bass. Oh, get down the dome. Yes. Boom, 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 boom. Hey. Everybody. Yeah. Like the stars when they shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Freedom and money, you know what I feel. It's a new day, it's a new world, it's a new life.
Feeling good. I think we're all feeling good. I told Nellie, don't be scared that I have no idea what I'm going to say about you. Because I can say all kinds of fun things and all kinds of really wonderful things. And I am just really grateful that Nellie said yes to this. Now, she didn't say yes right away and immediately because she likes to think things through thoroughly, carefully, and exhaustively. And there were some like scuff marks from dragging her to an answer. But she said, yeah. And Nellie is such a wonderful speaker, teacher, and individual, because she takes this unity stuff very seriously. So Nellie, whatever you've got to say to us, will you come on out and give it to us? And look how beautiful she looks. Hey, Nellie, birds flying up in the sky, you know how they feel?
Feeling good.
They feel good. Now, don't you forget to keep that microphone close to your mouth, or I'll have to come out here. Don't make me come out here.
I have my phone. It is not because I'm expecting a phone call. It's so that I can keep track of myself, because Britt said I only had a few minutes. Okay, so hey, y'all. How y'all doing? Let me say first that I'm grateful to Reverend Britt for giving me this opportunity, I think. I am grateful to all of you for being here. I'm grateful to all my first teachers when I first got to Unity and had so many questions that you could see the exhaustion on their face. So thank you. I'm grateful to my family. My brother, my sister-in-law, my nephew, and my daughter are here. So I appreciate that. I appreciate so much you guys being here to give me your support. And I extend to you holy kisses. Now, a lot of y'all have asked me where this holy kisses come from. It did not just come out of the air. I actually found it in the Bible, in Romans 16:16, where Paul was talking to the congregation and he told them, extend to each other holy kisses. And these holy kisses represent the unity, the love, and the fellowship that occurs among people like us. Okay, so that's us here in Unity. So what I'm gonna talk to you about today is the body. Now, in Unity, we do a lot of talking about the mind, a little bit about the body, but not a whole lot. So for me, at times, that has been a bit confusing. You know, Corinthians 6:19 reads, and I quote, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you?" And so that means the body's got to be a little more important, maybe, than we give it credit. So what is a temple? A temple, that word originates in Latin from the word templum, and it refers to sacred places specifically designed to house spirit. So when you think of it that way, you think of only a physical place where you go to worship or whatever you do in a temple. For me, growing up, it was a church. You know, I didn't know about temples so much. But here in Unity and New Thought, the body temple is not just a physical place. It is a divinely made vehicle that spirit expresses itself through into the material world. And so our bodies are an outer expression of the divine life. Excuse me, I can see, but I can't see. It represents the mind in a state of spiritual awareness where we receive divine ideas. Now, the heart of the temple is very sacred. That's where we get the unconditional love, we get the intuitive wisdom and divine guidance. So ultimately, the temple is the Christ within us. So I like to look at our bodies as the first line of defense. You know, like the skin covers our body and it keeps all the toxins away from the things inside that need to stay pure. Well, I look at the physical body kind of like that. And it does a lot of things. Like, what, you ever wonder just what it does? You ever break it down to look at what it does? So if it is our first line of defense, let's look at how it defends us. It's a barometer of inner alignment. So when you're out of alignment, things happen in the body. What kinds of things? you outside, somebody aggravates you, you get very angry, you start feeling tight, especially around the shoulders. Your back may start to hurt, you may sweat. She's laughing. You may sweat. Any kind of thing that happen can happen to your body. And that is a sign, Houston, there's a problem, we need to handle this. And so you have a chance to handle it. And the body temple is divinely intelligent. The body knows how to heal itself. It knows how to keep itself going. Does anybody in here get up in the morning and say, look, heart, I want you to keep beating all day. Look, blood, you know you gotta run through my veins. No, the body knows exactly what it has to do to keep you going. If you get a little cut, it heals itself. And even if you get a big cut and you have to go to the doctor can help it along, but it's actually you who does the healing. So it is also a gateway to discernment. You ever get a gut feeling? You're walking down the street and something says, no, don't go that way. And you turn and you go another way. You find out later that something happened over there that you didn't want to be bothered with. Or you have a chance to get involved in all these different projects and stuff and you don't know which one. And finally, something bing, touches you and you know which one you want to use. So that is how you get discernment from your body. It will guide you and it will warn you. And it is also a house of consciousness. What does that mean? We use our bodies to come here to learn about the principles and what we can do to navigate ourselves through life. We use our bodies to read spiritual material. We use our bodies to give each other a hug and a kiss to make each other feel good. So it does a lot of stuff. So it's our first line of defense, but it's not against things out there. It's a line of defense against what goes on the inside of us, our error thoughts, our spiritual disconnection, our feelings of spiritual disconnection, and our misuse of energy. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of Louise Hay, who wrote the book, You Can Heal Your Life. And she talks about how these different emotions can affect the body. And the bottom line of what she's talking about is you don't want these thought patterns, these thoughts to get so etched into your body that they become thought patterns, because that's when they become trouble. You know, if you have a passing thought, somebody aggravates you a little bit and you just like, and you let it go, that's okay. But if day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you get angry, you get upset, it tends to form a pattern in you. And it's the patterns that cause the problem. According to Louise Hay, if you have a pattern of resentment, that's associated with cancer. And if you have a pattern of criticism and judgment, that's associated with arthritis. If you have a pattern of guilt, that is punishment. It looks for punishment, and you start to develop pains in the body. If you have a pattern of fear and tension, that's associated with ulcers, baldness, wow, and even sore feet. But the point she's making is that any kind of upset, be it emotional, spiritual, mental, our bodies react in real and noticeable ways, and it does it in present time. And if it does it in present time, that means you have time to do something about it. You don't have to let it linger to become a pattern. So in unity, we use truth to help us navigate through these issues that we have. I've been teaching a book recently by Emily Cady, How I Use Truth. And she goes into all the different things that you can do to help you alleviate these stresses from your body so that they don't become a pattern, which is what we want to do. So let me see how much time I have. Ooh, okay.
All the time in the world.
Okay, so I'm going to give you an example of how this happened to me. So I got up in the morning, and I did more than my usual prayer ritual. I read the daily word. I did some meditation, some deep breathing. And I sent thought waves to all the people I know, love and health and wholeness and all that stuff. And by the time I finished, I had the warm fuzzies. As Pam said, I was feeling good. Ooh, yeah, I was feeling good. So I had called the Uber. I had called an Uber to take me to where I wanted to go. The Uber said it was downstairs, so I went downstairs. And I didn't see the Uber by my address. So I'm waiting with my phone up, because you know that's a signal that you're the person that they're looking for. And nothing happened. So I'm waiting and waiting, and I noticed cars on the other side of the street. And I said, let me go over there and see if I see the license number that I'm supposed to deal with. And sure enough, he was sitting on the other side of the street, looking straight ahead. So I get in, and I said to him, sir, you're on the wrong side of the street. And I didn't yell or get nasty or anything like that, y'all. I was very nice. I said, sir, you're on the wrong side of the street. You're supposed to pick me up over there. Now, he's the one that yelled. I went where the GPS told me to go, lady. Okay. And I said, okay, but the address said 2825. But he goes on about the GPS, and I said, okay, I'm thinking about Carlos, best day ever. I'm thinking about the fact that I had the warm fuzzies just a minute ago. So I said, okay, just let me let it go. So I started breathing, and I blessed him and his little car, too. And we were kind of on our way, except he went up half a block and made a U-turn and passed right by my building. And I opened my mouth to say something. I said, no, just let it go, let it go. And I just spent the rest of the time looking at the trees and thanking them for being there and giving us oxygen and being so wonderful. And then I got where I wanted to go. I had four places to go. I was going to Citarella, Fairway, Sephora, and Trader Joe, all on Broadway in a straight line. So I go into Citarella. And usually it's a long line to get fish, right? So I go in there and I look and there's no line. And I'm like, ooh, this is gonna be quick. I can get my fish and I can go, I'll be home early. So I go and I stand in front of the fish that I want and I'm waiting. And the guy is not paying me any attention. So I wave and he goes, oops. He goes, lady, if you want fish, you have to stand in the line. There's nobody in the line, sir. Yeah, but if you want fish, you're gonna have to go stand in that line over there and wait and wait. But there's no, sir, when I come in and there's a line, I stand in the line, but there's nobody here today, so I'm just standing in front of the fish that I want. If you want fish, you're gonna have to stand in front of the line. I don't know what's wrong with people come in and they don't follow the rules, but he got very loud and very nasty. So I went and stood in line. I didn't say anything else to him. And it probably would have been okay, a little bit okay, if he had just shut his mouth. But he didn't shut his mouth. He kept going and going about stupid people and not getting in line and not following orders. And I got a little triggered. First of all, why is he doing that? It's because I'm an old lady and he can get away with it? Is this some kind of microaggression? And you know, when I start thinking about that, that's gonna be a big deal, you know, knowing how I grew up and stuff. I'm like, is it because I'm black? And even if it wasn't because I'm black, my mind goes there. So I didn't yell back at him, but I tell you, I had some thoughts about him. All my divinity was out the window, and I was purely human. All my thoughts were error thoughts. Let's just say that. They were so error that, whew, I stopped being that little Southern belle that my grandmother raised, and I went to being a sailor out at sea. That's what was going on in my mind. But I didn't say any of it to him. I just took what he said, and I went and paid for my fish. And even as I was leaving, I was thinking about what I should have said, what I should have done. You know, I'm carrying it on my back, and I'm starting to feel tired and irritated. Just, you know, just I'm not warm and fuzzy anymore. What is wrong with this thing? Stop. I'm not warm and fuzzy anymore. So I go into Fairway, which was basically uneventful because the only thing in there was that it was crowded and people were in my way. You know, like they didn't have any business being there now because I'm aggravated and irritated and I should be able to go in and do what I want without having people bump into me, without having people park their carts in my way. You know, just little things that further aggravated me. So I got what I wanted in Fairway and I walked out. I'm going now to Sephora and I am so tired, so tired. My back is hurting. My cart feels so heavy and my feet are hurting. And my new Hokas, my feet are hurting. Feet aren't supposed to hurt in Hokas. And so I go into Sephora, and they don't have what I want, and I need it today. So who do I direct that toward? Can I be angry or upset at a store? Certainly not the clerks, because it's not their fault that it wasn't there. So I come out of Sephora. I got one more place to go, but I'm so tired. I don't know if I want to go there anymore. So I said, there's a bus stop there with the seats, you know, where you can sit at the bus stop. I said, let me just sit down here for a minute and calm myself down. And so I sat down and I started breathing, just deep, taking deep breaths over and over again. And I started to come back to myself a little bit because, you know, the breath is something else. The breath can bring you back from the brink. Breathing, that was the best thing that I could have done. If you look at what the breath does, look, the Bible said, and the Lord formed man out of dust of the ground and breathed breath into his nostrils, and man became a living being. So breathing brings you back to the present, and I was stuck in those incidents. And the present is the only place that we can find God. If I'm still stuck in something that's making me angry or looking at how I'm going to get even with him in the future, I'm not in the present. So breathing brought me back from the chaos of the outer world. And so as I sat breathing, I just started repeating, peace be still, peace be still, peace be still in me, peace be still in me. And then I asked, not for any reason, Britt, I just asked, but why am I so tired though? And something over here said, you're out of alignment. And now I know that wasn't me, because I don't talk to myself that way. Out of alignment, I might have said, you acting stupid, girl, but I wouldn't have said, you're out of alignment. I didn't like that. Telling me I was out of alignment. So then I had another question. What does that even mean? And that voice, the still small voice, I call it the SSV, said to me, look at your day. And you know what's so interesting? That this voice was not condemning. It wasn't accusatory, is that the word? It was just giving information, you know? It didn't make me feel any type of way, except I didn't like it was telling me I was out of alignment. So, okay, I look at my day. So I started looking at my day, starting with getting up and my prayer practice, going on to the cab driver and the upset that I had in Cinderella and what happened in Fairway and then on to Sephora. And so I'm looking. And this is the first time I'm actually able to associate what's going on in my body with what's going on in my mind. And I tell you, it's interesting that it made such a big difference. I didn't feel relief right away, not physically, but I felt spiritually relieved. You know, it like lifted something off my shoulders to know that that's what happened, and now I'm aware of it. Because once you become aware of something, that's when you're able to do something about it. Okay, so now I got the information. What do I do with it? I go into prayer. Okay. Or affirmations, or whatever you want to call it. It was the Christ in me is quickened now. What's my next step? And my next step was to keep breathing. And then forgiveness. So I started forgiving all the people that was involved in all the stuff that had happened. And then I thought about what Sean said. He said, people are people. They do what they do. The only person that you really have to forgive is yourself. And so I had to forgive myself for going out of my Christ character and allowing myself to get so angry. Because people, when I tell you I was in pain, I was tired, my clothes irritated my body, I just wanted to fling everything off and just not have any clothes on. And I was telling my daughter about this. I don't know if she remembers it, but I was telling her about the incident, and she's talking back to me and asking questions, and we get to a point where she's not saying anything. And I look at her, and she's like this. That's a signal from her that she wants to laugh, but she doesn't think it's appropriate to laugh. And it seems that she had gotten stuck on me walking down Broadway with no clothes on. So I started to, okay, let me forgive them anyway, just in case. So I forgave, what I forgave them for was not acting the way I wanted them to act. Because everybody is here, everybody has their own path, and they will do what they do on this path, and there's nothing I can do about it. So the only thing I can forgive them for is for not doing what I want them to do, or for not acting the way that I wanted them to act. Now, the biggest forgiveness is for myself, to forgive myself for being pulled so far off my spiritual journey's course that I allowed myself to get so uncomfortable. So that's what I did. I started, and then I started saying the affirmation again, peace be still in me. You know, I forgive myself for looking for these people to be anything other than a child of God. That's the only thing that I can look for them to be. And that came up in the book, How I Use Truth. And I think in the chapter, it was loose them and let them go. Britt, I forgot to keep time. How much time do I have? Okay. Loose them and set them free. And this is where H. Emily Cady is saying, you can't dictate another person's path. You have to just loose them and let them go. Because even if you do something or you say something to get them to change, if their heart is not in it, it's not going to take. They're going to go right back into it anyway. So her big idea in that particular chapter is, I'm not my brother's keeper. And I'm not my brother's keeper. The only thing I can do sometimes is to tell you what I think, and you can take it to heart or not. So that's what happened. So what is the lesson here? The lesson is to pay attention to your body. Pay attention to what it's trying to tell you. It being the temple of the Holy Spirit, I'm sure it tells us a lot. The thing of it is, most of the time, we don't listen to it. Now, I was telling Britt that on the way here, you know, because you see, I'm nervous. Yeah, I was nervous and, you know, scared and all that. And I've been that way for a little while, especially since finding out that I was going to speak. And there's this pain that's going up and down my leg. And I had my Tylenol that I was going to take and stuff to make it go away, which I left at home. And I said, oh, goodness. So I'm walking and I'm feeling the pain. And I said, okay, Christ within. This is my calling. You said it was my calling. You said that's what you wanted me to do. You made Britt and that other man over there. Lewis. You made Britt and Lewis encourage me to do this. And so here I am. And I don't want to do it with the pain in my leg. And I kept walking, and the pain went away. And it still has not come back. Now, we're going to see what happens, but it has not come back. So, you know, since the time that I discovered this, I have paid closer attention to my body and when I get aches and pains. And I'm not talking about, you know, just aches and pains of the wear and tear of our bodies, because according to Martha Creek, we all have a chef life. And so as we get older and our bodies kind of break down a little bit, maybe we'll have a little bit of pain. But I'm talking about if you leave your house and you're feeling good and within 2 hours you're hardly able to do anything, you might want to look and see what's going on in your day. And so I'm going to invite you, as you navigate through your life, to start to watch your body, listen to your body, see what it's saying to you, because it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It houses the Christ. That's where you go for guidance. That's where you go for everything. Okay? So let's see if that's all I have to say. Yeah. So that's it. That's it. Just be sure you do the body watching, because I'm doing it now all the time. And you'd be amazed at what shows up, at how, you know, the body just tells you stuff. And so when you think of the body temple, just know that it is a sacred place. It is a place that is there to help you navigate through life. And it's there to help you increase the quality of your life for the better. And so it is.
And so it is. Molly, you didn't even faint. You didn't even faint. Look at you. You just hold on to that, because I'm just going to do a little song. Thank you for saying yes again. Thank you for sharing your humanity and your wisdom and your insights, and for keeping your clothes on. It would have been okay if you hadn't, but I'm just saying.
Well, thank you and Lewis for your encouragement. I tell you, when these two guys start nipping at your heels, you may as well just go ahead and do what it is they want you to do.
You might as well, because the heels are part of the body.
I'm telling you.
And you can either have a nipped on or nip free. So we are so blessed. We are so blessed. And we're going to remember that right now in song as we prepare to go a little deeper. And Nellie has reminded us today of the power of the breath and the importance of the breath and the importance of the present moment, which is all that we have. It is the only place God can be. It is the only place we can be. And let's know in song that we are so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that I am.
Close your eyes and breathe deeply. Inhale deeply, exhale deeply. Again, inhale peace and exhale tension. And just one more time, inhale light and exhale release. Now gently allow your awareness to drift inward. Imagine you are stepping into a sacred space, a radiant, peaceful temple. This temple is not made of stone. This temple is you. Your body, your breath, your being is the living temple of spirit. Feel your heart beating like a sacred drum in the center of this holy place. And with each breath, divine life moves through you. With each thought, you are creating within the temple of your mind. Now silently affirm, I am the temple of the living God. Again, I am the temple of the living God. I am the temple of the living God. In me, God dwells and moves and has being. Now just take a moment to listen. What does your inner temple want to tell you today? Just listen. Let it speak through stillness, through light, and through knowing. What does it want to tell you? Now imagine this inner temple filling with radiant light from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You are aglow with divine presence. This light blesses your body. It clears your mind and it renews your soul. You are a holy vessel. You are the beloved dwelling place of God. God is the breath you breathe, the steady beat of your heart, the strength of every muscle, the flexibility of every joint, the nourishment of all your cells, and the functioning of every organ. Now repeat this affirmation quietly in your mind. I honor the temple that I am. I honor the temple that I am. I honor the temple that I am. I walk in grace. I live in peace. I radiate divine life. Now just take a minute to feel the blessing. All the blessings that your body temple offers you. Just breathe into it. Just breathe and honor the temple that you are. Now take one final deep breath and gently bring your awareness back to the room. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. And when you're ready, open your eyes. And just remember that you are centered, you are whole, and you are divine. And so it is.
Things my family did. I am not the voices in my head. I am not the pieces of the brokenness inside. I am light. I am light. I am light. I am. not mistakes that I have made, or any of the things that cause me pain. I am not the pieces of a dream I left behind. I am light. I am light. I am light. I am light. Not the color of my eyes. I am not the skin on the outside. I am not my age. I am not my race. The soul. Thank you.